Is GM turning the corner?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We'll find out today how General Motors did last quarter. The carmaker is expected to turn a small profit, but on the balance sheet, it'll look like a loss. That's because GM had to shell out a bunch of money to get workers to retire early. This is all part of GM's turnaround strategy. More now from Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
General Motors lost more than $10 billion last year. That prompted a mini-revolt among its stockholders. Kirk Krikorian, GM's largest shareholder, is pressuring the carmaker to sell a 20% stake to rivals Renault and Nissan.
General Motors is a fundamentally sick company. Its labor costs are too high, and it doesn't make cars that people want to buy.
Peter Morisi is an auto industry expert at the University of Maryland.
General Motors needs to make significant profits for a long time to make up for the losses it's endured over the last several years and to have the monies it needs to develop new vehicles and new technologies to compete with the Japanese in the future.
GM still has tough negotiations ahead as it tries to lower costs and boost slumping sales. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
British drug maker Glaxo believes it's found a bird flu vaccine for humans. Glaxo's lab people say the vaccine is effective in very small doses, and that helps if you're talking about mass production. The company says governments could get their hands on the vaccine by early 2007. It's only Wednesday, and already we've had two data security breaches this week. Since March of last year, at least 46 laptops containing personal information have been stolen or reported missing. Lisa Napoli says it's not just portable computers that are vulnerable.
More than 500,000 people who get workers' compensation from New York State have been warned their personal data has gone missing. A PC containing their information has vanished from an insurance brokerage where the data was sent for conversion to a new system. Meanwhile, mutual fund distributor Old Mutual Capital is warning some of its customers that a laptop that holds personal information has been stolen.
We don't know if this is a trend or if it's just that there's more reporting.
Beth Givens of the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse says the theft of a business computer can be a twofer for a thief.
If it's a savvy thief and they realize what they have, they'll copy the data file and sell the information as well as sell the laptop. In fact, the information is far more valuable than the value of the hardware.
Buck Givens says not all computer thieves realize what they're getting, so not all of the data stolen will be used for ill effect and identity theft. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Last year, Microsoft did some work for the Pentagon. Walmart did some business with the Army. ExxonMobil with the Interior Department. All sounds normal, right? Except the federal government claims those contracts went to small business. A report comes out today that says $12 billion in contracts that were supposed to go to small businesses actually went to corporate giants. The Bush administration has a goal of awarding 23% of contracts to small biz, but this report says the feds are falling short of that goal. You're listening to Marketplace. Chicago may not be Walmart's kind of town. The city council votes today on a living wage ordinance. It would require big stores like Walmart to pay workers more than the state's minimum wage. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Chicago would be the biggest city so far to pass a living wage ordinance, joining places like Santa Fe and San Francisco. The law would require mega retailers to pay workers at least $10 an hour by 2010. Advocates say at $6.50 an hour, Illinois' minimum wage isn't enough to live on in the Windy City. And when huge stores like Walmart pay those salaries, it can depress overall wages in the area. Clark University labor expert Gary Chason says these laws can hurt Walmart, but not because of the money.
I don't think Walmart is that much concerned about the economics. What they are concerned with is probably the embarrassment that's brought on.
Critics say these laws could drive employers out, taking jobs and wages with them. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Teach for America's core of recent college grads, working to ensure students get access to educational opportunities at teachforamerica.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Let's do the numbers, shall we? Wall Street had a late rally led by tech stocks. The Nasdaq climbed 0.5% to 2073. That gives it a two-day bump after losing 7% in the last 3 weeks. The Dow was also up about 0.5% to 11,013. But the joy may be short-lived. Amazon shares dropped 10% in after-hour trading. The online retailer reported a steep drop-off in profits last quarter. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in Rome today for an international conference. She's getting an earful from almost every country there. They want the U.S. to call for an immediate end to the violence between Israel and Hezbollah. But Rice says a ceasefire is no good unless it's a permanent one. Syria wasn't invited to this conference, but commentator Reza Aslan says the U.S. should look in that direction.
Most analysts agree that the path to peace in Lebanon goes through Damascus. But Syria is arguably the most isolated country in the Middle East. In fact, Iran is probably the only friend Syria's got right now. But make no mistake, the alliance between Tehran and Damascus is a marriage of convenience, not ideology. Syria's avowedly secularist government remains deeply antagonistic toward the radical Islamist policies of Iran's clerical regime. The Bush administration recognizes this and has begun looking for ways to drive a wedge between Syria and Iran. Iran has shown it cannot be cowed into changing its policies. But Syria has repeatedly proven susceptible to international pressure. It was forced to withdraw from Lebanon last year, and it has submitted to the embarrassing UN investigation into the murder of Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. Syria can be pressured into stopping its support for Hezbollah. Syria can even be pried away from Iran, but only if it feels it's in its best interest to do so. That means offering to unfreeze the assets of Syrian officials and peeling back U.S. sanctions on Syria's banks. Both steps would go a long way toward persuading Syrian President Bashar al-Assad that he no longer needs proxies like Hezbollah to protect his interests in the region. In short, Syria must be convinced that it can have a far more beneficial relationship with Washington than it can with Tehran. Of course, that is a message that can only be conveyed directly by the U.S., and thus far, the Bush administration has refused to engage the Syrian government in direct dialogue. That's not a good idea. The key to solving the escalating crisis in Lebanon is not to further isolate Syria, but to isolate it from Iran.
Reza Aslan is the author of the book No God, But God. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
To many people, baseball is